With the New York governor left with few friends after a report detailing his misconduct, what does it take to stop on-the-job harassment? I'm David Brancaccio. In the wake of a report by the New York Attorney General that the state's Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed 11 women in violation of the law, the gears of impeachment are starting to turn. Cuomo, in a prepared video, sees the incidents of unwanted sexualized touching as misunderstandings. Also, the governor's office says it's brought in an expert to redesign harassment training for the staff and the governor. Whether or not Cuomo is soon addressed as ex-governor is something many are monitoring this morning. But among policy issues raised here for organizations large and small, what do we know about redesigning reporting systems and training so people are treated right? In 2016, the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission studied what kind of training is especially useful. I spoke this morning to Marcia McCormick, an employment law professor at St. Louis University.
So there is a large body of scholarship that suggests that simply providing an opportunity for people who experience harassment themselves to report isn't very effective. There are a number of reasons people don't report. There are bad things that happen to people who report. And so the EEOC has suggested that harassment training needs to be championed by senior leaders, repeated and reinforced, provided to employees at every level and location of the organization, and tailored to the specific workplace, and that bystander training in particular is very effective to allow coworkers to intervene in ways that are not risky to them, but that stop the conduct that could get worse or that might be harassing.
So bystander training, not just supervisors who in many companies are required to take action if they hear reports of some kind of misconduct, but someone who might not be a manager.
That's right. And bystander training is especially effective because it is a way to interrupt what's happening. One of the things that happens is that when people complain about discrimination against themselves, and this isn't the technical, you know, psychological term, but essentially they're perceived to be whiners. Their complaints are sometimes not taken seriously or often not taken seriously. And so when a person advocates on behalf of another, that doesn't happen. And so not only is the conduct interrupted while it's ongoing, if there is someone present who can act as a bystander, but also reporting by a bystander doesn't trigger the same kind of psychological backlash and potential for retaliation, usually, that the person who experiences the harassment reporting it might.
So one hopes that training can have an appropriate effect. But in any organization, whether or not the boss lives the policy is got to also be a factor in defining workplace culture.
Well, that's exactly right. And that was one of the key findings of the EEOC's task force is that, you know, an anti-harassment policy or harassment prevention, which is really their focus, has to be championed by senior leaders.
Marcia McCormick is an employment law professor at St. Louis University. Professor, thank you for this.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
There's news a private sector tally of the number of people hired onto payrolls in July has just come in much weaker than expected. Professional forecasters were expecting hiring to be twice as large. The official jobs report is not out until Friday, though. Many Wednesdays, we consult Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Hi there.
Good morning.
Now, I know this private sector ADP report, which comes out on the Wednesday, doesn't always sync up with the official jobs report that comes out monthly on Fridays. That said, this doesn't look all that good.
No, ADP reported an add of 330,000 jobs to the economy. Now, that sounds pretty good on its own, except estimates were for almost 700,000 to be added. ADP numbers have been different from the government numbers that report on Friday. And so I think the market is going to discount this a little bit, but that is still a big difference than what people were expecting.
And certain sectors are taking this harder than others.
Most definitely. Where we're seeing the biggest decline is in leisure and hospitality. Remember that those industries were hardest hit by the pandemic, and they have the longest road to go to get back to normalcy.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities, Aviva Investors, out of their Chicago office. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Now to some trash talk. The garbage company Waste Connections reports quarterly results later today. Like many companies, Waste is short on workers. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has that.
It's snake season in Shreveport, and the reptiles are loving all the bulk trash lingering on curbs for weeks now. Tires, dressers, fridges.
Every day we're getting a call on snake calls. These bulk pickups are literally getting out of hand.
That's Councilwoman Tabitha Taylor speaking at a recent meeting. Shreveport can't find enough people to haul away the snaky trash. David Biederman, CEO of the Solid Waste Association of North America, says staff shortages go way beyond Louisiana.
It has spread and now is affecting both local governments and private sector waste collection throughout the United States.
The job isn't sexy, Biederman admits, and loading trash in traffic is actually quite dangerous.
When I tell people that collecting garbage is more dangerous than being a firefighter or a police officer, they look at me like, that can't be right.
Some trash companies are boosting benefits and wages. Biederman says that's helping, and he's hopeful consumption and the trash that comes with it will level off this fall. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
Construction is another industry having trouble finding people. This is also in part a pandemic distortion, but also younger people missing a chance in a career that's getting more tech-driven. If you miss our conversation about that on the air today, consult Back to Business. It's our series accumulating at Marketplace Online as well. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.